Well, guys, Mike is a good friend of ours, a familiar face, I'm sure, that's been helping us in the last couple of years in particular with work in the church here. So I wonder if we can just welcome him as he comes to share Enter by the Narrow Gate.
Thank you. Just before I start, I just can't resist. Let the what we call a prophetic word, which Alan explained so well, go by without just commentating on and dwelling on, I think. And obviously, the word was really addressed to people who know Jesus. And the challenge for those who don't comes in a minute. But if we do know Jesus, and we don't start off naturally when we're born knowing Jesus, but if we've given our life to him and come to him, and then one of the things that I want to dwell on here is that towards the end that Judith said, I am irreversibly in love with you. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? You know, nothing's going to change it. Our messing up, our drifting away, when we blow it, whether we go to Canada or Germany. You know, nothing's going to change his love. God does love Germany, let's be honest. He does. Not when we play football, but he does love Germany. He's irreversibly in love with you. Just receive that now. Just want to minister that deep into our spirits. One of the joys about our meetings is that we want to welcome the presence of God. And if that's unusual to you, just relax. We welcome him here. He's here. And he just wants to underline his great love for us. Right now, this is for everybody. Do you notice that when Judith spoke, she was speaking to everyone? That was underlined, wasn't it? It was everyone who knows Jesus, then he is irreversibly in love with us. Come and enjoy my love, my presence. Lord, we love your presence. We just want to start off by saying it's your presence that changes our life. It's your presence that makes the difference. We thank you for your irreversible love for us, Lord. I personally want to thank you for that. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Now just come and speak to us, Lord, as we open up the Bible, as we particularly think about two different roads that lie ahead of everybody. I pray, Lord, you just come and minister to people. I want to ask you that you change people's lives here this morning. I want to pray for a tremendous sense of joy and liberation. And I pray, too, just for people's direction in life to be completely altered. Thank you, Jesus. Just come and do that right now. Well, let me start by saying this, that I just want you to come with me. Come with me to the home of Albert Higgins. And Albert Higgins is an anxious man, really. He's been waiting on some news. And all of a sudden, we're in his house and we hear this. Brrr, brrr. Brrr, brrr. And he answers the phone and the voice comes on and says, hello, I'm Susan. I'm the GP receptionist. Mr. Higgins, your hospital tests have just come back, and I just need to let you know that you need to make an urgent appointment with us. We need to see you immediately. And you can imagine how Albert felt as he put the phone down. He already was fairly anxious, and his heart's pounding, and he's wondering what's going on, and all sorts of turmoil's going on in his mind. But he's already made an appointment for the next morning, and 11 o'clock is what they'd agreed on. And so the next day, at 11:01, as he, a little green light flashes on in the GP surgery, he goes in, and he takes the initiative. He's very anxious, but he takes the initiative, and he says, Doc, tell me like it is. I want it clear. If it's bad news, then cut all the waffle out and give it to me straight. 13 years ago, and my family, or what the part of the family that hadn't left home by then, moved north. And moving north when you live on the south coast is a big thing. And we moved north, and we moved first of all to Sheffield, and you'll notice the progression here, then to Leeds, and then to Darlington. What's next, I wonder? And one of the things I picked up and love about the north of England is this, is that people say, up north, we like it straight. We tell it as it is. Why do I say that? Because I sense that the kind of passage I want to look at today is pretty tough, actually. It's a subject that I would rather not touch, but I feel God say to me that this is for you here today. And essentially, it's Jesus bringing some pretty straightforward teaching. And he's doing it because he loves us. This is the same Jesus who loves us with an irreversible love. And the first thing he does is he tells us the truth. Aren't you pleased that people tell you the truth? Like Elbert Higgins, it may not be good news to start with. You may, don't really want to hear it, but it does you good. It changes your life. And I want to look at, as you can see, my subject today is enter by the narrow gate. And so let me just read this to you. I put it up on the screen for you just to help you. Just assuming that many of you guests here haven't got a Bible. I never used to have one. Now I've got several. But let me just read to you. This is part of the, towards the back of the Bible, what we call the New Testament. And the New Testament kicks off with four accounts of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And this is by a man called Luke, who looked at things carefully. He was a doctor. And he recorded things accurately. And he says this. He's talking about an episode in Jesus' life. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. And someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, well, we ate with you and we drank with you and you taught us in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the ones who are first will be last. Now this passage is challenging, really. As I say, it's tough news, really. Just to put this in its context, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And it wasn't just a nice place to visit. It's not like going to Newcastle or getting the train to London. He knew that what would happen when he got to Jerusalem would be that he would die on a cross. He was going to be publicly humiliated and scoffed and laughed at. And he would die for everybody's wrongdoing. And he was on his way there, basically. But he wasn't in a hurry. And he visited various towns and villages along the way to that journey. And what happens is that in one such place, he's asked this question. And the question is, are many going to be saved or just a few? How many, basically? It's a number question. And Jesus, with many questions, doesn't give immediate answers. And he doesn't seem to answer the question. But what he does is this, is he moves what could be a potential debate into a personal challenge. That's what he does. I don't know if you've ever read the Bible much. When you read it, it's amazing because suddenly it speaks to you personally. And it arrests your attention. And it brings personal challenge. And that's what Jesus is doing today. And yet, to fully understand this question, we just need to look at another reference. It's a very short one. And it's in the book called Matthew. And it's a similar account, but it's a very short one. And he's talking about two gates. And he says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. And you sense here Jesus is giving a bit more of an answer to the number question. And right at the beginning, it's important for us to know that a few doesn't mean a small number. You know, you read other places in the Bible, heaven's going to be populated. There's been moments in the history of our country where thousands upon thousands upon thousands have turned to Jesus in a short period of time. So don't think that few means hardly anybody. We'll come to that a bit later. Let me just refocus us here. What am I talking about today? Sober subject. And yet, this is God's love for us. It's about two gates. I want you to get focused. It's two gates. It's two different roads. And it leads to two different destinations. And that really is the story of all of our lives. I was born on the Isle of Wight, a place called Newport. My dad was in the army. Only there for a few days, and then we're off somewhere else. Now, wherever you were born, what we're told is there's actually two roads ahead of everybody. Some of us were born quite recently. Some of us, like myself, were born several years ago. But wherever you were born and whenever you were born, what Jesus is saying is, ahead of everybody, there's two different roads. And that's what I want to put before you here this morning. So I want to talk about two gates, two different roads, and two different destinations. Let me say, this is straight talking from Jesus. After all, he was a northerner. It's straight talking. It's disbelief or belief. It's a straight choice required. And at the end, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond, because there's a narrow gate here. You can walk through this narrow gate at the end of this morning. Some of us would do it this morning because that's already happened to us quite recently. Others will walk through there for the first time this morning. You have that choice. Because Jesus has wonderful love for you. And he first of all tells you the truth. And then when you give your life to him, he has an irreversible love for you. How can you refuse that? How can anybody refuse that? So let's look at this in a little bit more detail. I'm not going to be long. But the first thing I want to say is this. That Jesus' way is narrow. That's what we're told here. Jesus says it's vital that you choose me. Did you hear that? This is not an unimportant question. It's the most important question. On your journey from birth to life, the choice of road that you go down is yours, and it's the most important decision you'll ever have to make. You get all kinds of choices, don't you? Choice in the supermarket, choice in a restaurant. You can even get choice of fares on a train. But this choice is the most important choice that you'll ever have to make. And he says this, he says, Jesus actually is quite shocking. You see, the Jesus I discovered wasn't the Jesus I thought would exist. He's not namby-pamby. He's tough. He loves us, but he's tough. He's a servant. He doesn't boss it over us. He washes our feet, and yet one day we'll stand before him and he'll judge every one of us. And he says this, he says, enter through the narrow gate. It's clear, isn't it? This is the way to go. Of the two roads, look, here's the one. It's not advice, it's saying don't go down the other one. But he says it's narrow. I want to say this, it's official now. We all thought this, didn't we, that Jesus' way was narrow? I used to think that. Oh, that's narrow. Narrow-minded. Just for a few. Who wants to be religious? And now it's public, it's out in the open. Jesus is clear. Look, my way is narrow. It starts by going through a narrow gate. And society today rages against statements like this. It doesn't like statements that Jesus makes. Because it values tolerance and it values permissiveness. If it feels good, do it. And Jesus gets up and says, look, my way is narrow. It's narrow. You might say, that's a bit extreme, isn't it? You might say, well, that's very offensive. You're telling me every other way is wrong? You're saying Jesus' way is the only right way? And you might say this, well, I've heard preachers maybe in situations, often sad ones, at funerals, or you may have read obituaries in newspapers. And they say things like this, well, today another saint went to heaven. And the implication is that if you live a decent life, and it never really defines what a decent life is, that everybody gets to heaven. And Jesus is quite shocking. And he says that just isn't the case. So who's right? Who's right? Have you asked that question? Who's right? Let me say this. It's important that we understand who's doing the speaking. See, it's not my opinion that I'm now expressing. I'm not coming giving you a viewpoint that I have. You see, if tough lines need to be said, then it matters who the speaker is. And in this case, the one who is speaking is Jesus. Now, I've made my mind up, have you? If Jesus says something, I'm going to listen. He's got much more insight than I have. I might not initially like what he says. It might be very challenging, but I'm going to listen to him. And he says, look, the gate is narrow. It's the first thing he says. It's a narrow way. But he also says this, knock and the door will be opened. It's not closed. It's not hidden. It's not camouflaged. It's very public. It's written in the Bible. It's the most popular book that's ever been written. It's the bestseller even today. It's not hidden. What Jesus said is not hidden. It's public. It's out there. It may be narrow, but it's not hidden. It's not camouflaged. And yet people, and I was one of these, fail to spot the narrow gate. Usually by, we're too busy. We're too busy. Or it's not important enough. Or it's unattractive. Or it's just, we're ignorant of it. But Jesus says this, when you walk through the gate, see, when you walk through the gate, I was a university student, I heard the message of Jesus. This is my natural position, I'm outside of the gate. I, if I'm honest, I'm not even too sure I knew it existed. But when I walk through the gate, I found life. I found life in all its fullness. It challenged my pride. It was a painful challenge. I was no longer in control. I had to give control of my life to somebody. But that someone is Jesus, who I trust. And I made that decision as a university student studying physiology and biochemistry of farm animals. Everyone laughs at that point. And I was at a point to give my life to Jesus. And I humbly came. If I'm honest, I'm not really too sure exactly. You know, I didn't know the full implications. But I knew enough. I knew enough and I humbled myself. And I said, forgive me. And I walked through the door and I found life in all its fullness. Have you found that? It's narrow. But you find life in all its fullness. Let me give you this other illustration. It's a true story. A 20-year-old, it was a woman, had just become a Christian and was asked by a friend, doesn't Christianity leave you all fenced in, all boxed in? And her reply was, it does, but inside the fence, when you cross through the door, it's like a garden. And outside the fence, it's like a desert. And when I set out to walk from one side of the garden to the other, I find I never get to the other side. You see, it's a little bit like the TARDIS in Doctor Who. That it looks so small and narrow, but you walk through it and you're in this amazing world. Amazing world. And you're free. For the first time in your life, you're free. You're free to be yourself. It's a time of liberation. Shackles come off. Strongholds are broken in your life. You're no longer a prisoner. You're free. And you're free to be yourself. It's a technicolor life. Jesus says this, I've come to give you life. And I've come to give you life in all its fullness. And so it's amazing, when you walk through the gate, these so-called restrictions and being fenced in, they completely get a different perspective on it. His way is narrow, but when you walk in, it's an amazing thing you come into. And secondly, Jesus goes on to say that his way is not the most popular. Okay, it's not that only a few go down that road, but it's not the most popular. We read this, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. Jesus compares two roads. It starts with two gates. There's a narrow gate, and there's a huge broad gate. There's a challenge just bringing this up from Darlington. I couldn't imagine what trying to bring a broad gate would look like. Abnormal load on the motorway. It's a broad gate. Those are the two roads. One's got many travellers on, one's got fewer. Jesus' path is the least travelled. Not because it's elitist, but because it's not the most popular. You see, being a Christian is not fashionable. Good job it isn't, really. Living as a Christian means I'm likely to be misunderstood. Let me correct that. You will be misunderstood. You will be misrepresented. You will swim often against the tide. You will live a distinct life. Your life will change from within, and you'll start to look different to other people. And your value system will change. That's what happens when you meet Jesus. It's the mark of a Christian. Yes, we're under construction. Yes, we've been changed into his likeness every day. But there's a difference. He's marked us. He lives inside us. We have life. Isn't it also interesting that we'd actually fly in the face of public opinion? You see, public opinion often makes things right or wrong. Breakfast TV, isn't it? You know, they wheel on an expert. And the expert from Durham University says. And, you know, who is this expert? And then we vote on it, and then 48% of people think he's wrong. And 52% makes things right. Mark Twain said this about public opinion. Its name is public opinion. It's held in reverence. It settles everything. And some think it is the voice of God. Let me be very clear Public opinion is not the voice of God. Crowds are very fickle, aren't they? Jesus came in and a crowd of people greeted him. Hosanna! 2 days later, or just a short time later, crucify him! See, crowds are fickle. They're fickle. Public opinion is fickle. I'd rather listen to someone who's going to irreversibly love me. And someone who demonstrates that he's a servant and that he gives life in all its fullness. So Jesus' way and public opinion often clash. And it's one of the reasons that the narrow way Jesus talks about is less travelled. It's definitely a reason. But then Jesus says this, knock. Knock and the door will be opened. Listen, you can come and knock on this door. You can walk through this door this morning into a new life. When I give you that opportunity, don't hang around. Just come out. Yeah, I'm going to ask you to do it publicly. But Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus is speaking to you. And it's more important to obey him than think about what others are thinking about us. There's a translation of the Bible called The Message. And it says this. It says, the way to life in God is vigorous and it requires your attention. My experience is this, is that sadly, people who give their life to Jesus, it's often because their world's been upset. Their marriage is on the rocks. Finance has gone. Whatever it is, there's something that comes and jolts it. And it makes them think about other things. It makes them think about real life. And suddenly, they're aware that the door. Listen, this morning, you haven't got to go through a major trauma to realize that there is a door. There's a gate set before you. And I'd like to encourage you to come in. Then thirdly, we read this. And this gets harder. Do you think I'm enjoying saying this? I'm not. Jesus' choice is life or destruction. There's two roads. There's two gates that lead to two roads. But both lead to different destinations. It's life or destruction. Jesus puts it very clearly. It can't be any more stark than that. It's black and white. It's life or it's destruction. One way leads to life. One way leads to destruction. Now, of course, on that broad road, I was on the broad road for many years without even realizing I was on it. But on the broad road, it doesn't always feel like you're heading for destruction. The road to hell can be deceptively pleasant. It really can. But Jesus' plain speaking here alerts us and warns us how perilous the final destination is of the broad road. And he says, watch out. He says, be warned. Because he loves us. You may be enjoying right now the temperature of the broad road, but what Jesus says in these passages is this, the final destination is going to be considerably hotter. That's what he says. Notice this, that Jesus is not a killjoy. He's not a killjoy. He's our savior. He's a lifesaver. So if he says you're on the road to destruction, then I would suggest you take action, like I did, and get off and come through the narrow gate. He says this about the destination of destruction. There'll be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. You see the heroes of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and others, all the prophets. You'll see them in the kingdom of God. But you yourselves will be outside. I tell you, that's an agonizing picture, isn't it? Isn't that? If that's true, that's a horrendous picture. It's agonizing. It's seeing the heroes of the faith. It's maybe seeing other members of your family who are Christians. It's seeing friends who are Christians with God for eternity, but you yourselves locked out. That's what it's saying. And also knowing there's no way in. There's no way in. And it gets more disturbing, because the word weeping, the tense of it, is endlessly expressing grief. Listen, it's bad enough when we weep over something, isn't it? We've all faced that in life, at least once. It's horrendous. But this is constantly weeping. It's endlessly expressing grief. The word gnashing is ongoing rage and anger. In other words, it's saying this, that those shut outside of heaven feel sad and cross at the same time. And they feel like that for all eternity. That's what Jesus is saying. That's agony to me. That really is agony. Whenever the Bible speaks about hell, the language and imagery that it uses, the context of the teaching given, and the understanding that the hearer of the day would have, all portray hell as a place of ongoing torment. Can I say this to you? Do not be fooled by someone who tells you that hell is not real. Jesus never did that. He never did that. He's not beating around the bush. Now, finally, I want to say this to you. Can we just push this on a bit, please? The next one. I've lost my power. Finally, it says this, the gate will close forever. Now, at the moment, look, the gate is open. If you wouldn't mind, Adrian, please. It says this. It says there's coming a time when the gate will close. That's what we've been told here. This is what Jesus is teaching. Right now, it's open. But there's a time coming when it will be closed. The Bible talks and gives us a handle on the future. It's a subject for another day. He talks about signs that will show when he comes. But he says this, when he comes, everybody will see it, but it's too late to make a decision. It's not the time. You just won't have time. It's something you need to decide beforehand. You cannot come to Christ when the gate is closed. It says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." He will say, "I don't know you or where you came from." "Yeah, but we ate with you and drank with you and you taught us. I came to your church meetings. I brought a Bible." But Jesus will reply, "I don't know you or where you came from." This is the God who irreversibly loves us. Do you hear that? "Depart from me, for I never knew you." So the gate is going to close. Genuine seekers will always get in. But many will try when it's too late. Don't wait till it's too late. You can come to Jesus today. Jesus would say, look, you've had your chance. You've had your chance. Let's just open the gate again and remind ourselves that the day when it's closed. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad this is a day when the gate is wide open? You may have not known where it is. You may have missed it for many years in your life like I did. You may have labeled it wrongly. Not for me. But it's there. It's pulling you. There's a pull going on right now. Jesus is saying, come to me. Today is the day of salvation. You can come to me. It's wide open. I died for you. All this teaching comes from one simple question. And it won't be many days before Jesus is hanging on a cross for us. Jesus talks of the day when eternal futures will be decided. And the stark options that Jesus presents do not spring from the malice of a killjoy, but from the love of one who knows the seriousness of the situation. He loves us so much that he tells us like it is. In fact, he's so concerned about us that he's going to give his life, and on his own body, he did nothing wrong. He's going to take all your wrongdoing, all my wrongdoing, and he's going to die for that and be punished. And he'll be cursed. And he'll receive the full judgment of a holy God on his own life. In fact, what he would do by his death and then his later resurrection, he would give his life to block our road to hell. That's what he does. Let me give you this story. I was asked to speak to the student union, Christian Union, in Bradford University. Living in Leeds, I knew the way to go. At least I knew most of it. If you've ever been to Bradford, a bit like Leeds, it's got this horrendous middle bit that you can just, if you get caught in there, I mean, you could be there till Jesus returns. It's that bad. And so I've got my trusty sat-nav, and I'm on my way. I'm ignoring it to start with, and I switch it on for the middle bit. And then I thought I'd switched it off. And I would normally leave it in my car, but the day before, just outside Leeds University, I got my car smashed in, and a glass window was broken, and things were stolen, and I got nowhere to normally keep my TomTom advert for the Dutch company there. So I'm taking it with me. I've got it in my bag, and I'm speaking to the students. Then all of a sudden, this little voice speaks from my bag. It says this. It says, "Turn around." And I thought, do I now just pretend that's not mine? Basically, like everybody, whenever possible. And Jesus is saying this to you today, isn't he? Turn around whenever possible. Today is the day of salvation. I'm going to end now. I'm going to end by saying this. I'm going to give you a chance to respond. There's a road, really, that you can come down. It's a wonderful road that you can come down. There's two roads ahead of you. The most popular is you go through a broad gate. We all start off on that road. That's where we are. But Jesus says, look, I've got a gate. It's open to anybody. It's not exclusive. It's not like going to Oxford or Cambridge or even Durham. It's open to anybody. And you can come through this gate. But you've got to come. And you've got to come now. Because today is the day of salvation. Because Jesus died for you. So, let's just pray, shall we? Do you want to close your eyes? You feel free to. If you don't, feel free not to. I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond. Lord Jesus, these are tough words, but we recognize they're given by the one who loves us and the one who gives life in all its fullness. And we're realizing today that without you, our life is very mundane, it's very humdrum, we've got no hope for the future, it's black and white, really. And yet you say, I've come to give you life. And that life, although it looks fenced in, actually brings freedom. And I thank you that you opened up a way for us. That's what you say. You opened up a way of salvation, a way of freedom, a way of coming back to you, a way of reestablishing the relationship with you that we're made for. And without which we don't function properly. And we just acknowledge you this morning, Father. All of us now just acknowledge you. Thank you that you loved us enough, Jesus, to tell us the truth. And you give us the opportunity to go through a narrow gate. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would just come and pull people to you. You would draw people to you now. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray now just for an atmosphere in this room that's just unaware of other people, but very aware of you. We can be so self-conscious at times, and we want to just be very God-conscious right now. This is between God and us, God and me. We're going to do three things. Open your eyes. Just if you've become a Christian in the last 18 months, so 2010 and 2011, first 6 months, I guess, we're just starting the seventh. I'm going to ask you, just when I say, I'm going to ask you just to come forward. If you've come to Christ or you've come back to Christ, because that's very significant too. I'm going to ask you just to come up and walk through this gate right now. Let's all stand, shall we? And if you have become a Christian in the last 18 months or come back to him in a big way, then I'd like you just to come down and walk through this gate. And as you walk through, I'd like you just to stay on the other side for a minute. Let's just do that right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It's wonderful, isn't it? There's more coming, look. How wonderful is that? Oh, Jesus, we love you. You're such a wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Some of you are standing with a friend. Most of you have most probably come back to God or come to know him for the first time. Listen, just look at me for a minute. Just hold your hands out. He loves you with an irreversible love. Enjoy the freedom of this technicolor world that you live in. Ooh. Ooh. If anyone is in Christ, they are a brand new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. Holy Spirit, just come and fill people now. Just come. Just come with your power. Come. And we just celebrate. Let's just give God a huge round of applause for what he's done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ooh. Now, right now, please just stay there. It won't be very long. I'd like to pray for all of you in a minute. If you have never given your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to do a very difficult thing. It's going to be very public. I'm not apologizing about that. If you want to go through the narrow gate, you can do it today. Don't hang around the gate. Don't wait for other family members to go through the gate. You have to go through this gate one at a time. Even in modern stadiums, even with all their kind of electronics and little cards that can get you in, you can only go in one at a time. And this is that kind of gate. It's narrow. And I'm saying today is the day of salvation, and I'm just going to ask you right now, if you've never given your life to Christ, why don't you just walk through this gate right now? Where are you? Just come and do it. Look what's happened to these people. Just come and do it now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Huge battle going on. This is between you and God. Do not put it off. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just keep coming. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. There's more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of coming back to God. Okay, anybody else here? Anybody else here hasn't done it yet? Or no, you should be that side. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just listen to this for a minute. I've got a few more things to say. I won't be long.
At the start of the service, I don't know if you can see this, it's a tiny little bunch of wildflowers that my daughter picked for me, and she's wrapped it in her scrunchie. Okay? It's not an expensive gift, but it's a gift with love. And it really spoke to me about God's love to us, and also what's been said this service. This type of thing, it's like giving of your heart. And God is saying that he wants us to give our hearts to him. And he accepts us just as we are. We don't have to bring a huge bouquet. We don't have to try and be like someone else or to envy others and think we're not good enough. Because he says you are. You can just bring the wildflowers. And it also says in the Bible, Jesus says that not even, look at the wildflowers of the field, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like these. If the wildflowers are so beautiful and God accepts even the sparrows, how much more he cares for us. So he says that he does care for us and he wants us to accept him, just like he accepts us.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Okay. So finally then, not doing this, but God loves you. Is there anybody else who just needs to give their life to Jesus today? Okay, this is between you and him. Here's something we'll celebrate. We will clap our hands. We will join with the angels. Don't you love the angel dance? It's my favorite dance. It's better than the charismatic hop. Jesus. Jesus. Anybody else? Okay, I'm just going to count down 1 to 10. Give you a chance. 1, 2, 3. Just come if you need to. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, we're going to stop there. And I've got one more. Just to say this to you, there's most probably what's happened here this morning. I've got a pretty good handle on these things because I've seen it happen. I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I've seen it happen lots of times. And so you get a handle on what's happening. There's a mixture of things happening here. And some people have just compelled to come forward. And some have given their life to Christ for the first time. And some are just saying, I've done that recently in the last year. I'm just going to encourage people who came forward, everybody just to be prayed for. And I'm going to encourage the three people that came forward at the end, that if people on the ministry team could just speak to them and find out what's happening, that would be very encouraging. And my final word to you is this, is that God has set before you an open door. I'm talking to you as a church now. It's an open door. It's a door way into his presence. He loves bringing his presence. It's it's not just about being wacky. That's what I'm trying to say, all right? Okay, it's not about that. It may look like that at times, but it's not about that. It's about his presence. It's his presence that changes our lives. It's his presence that changes Durham. It's his presence that brings life. It's a presence, his presence, that alerts more and more people who are completely unaware there's an open door and a narrow door that they can walk through. Lord, I want to pray for this door. And I want to just encourage you that as a church, to walk through that door as well. Now, before you go to coffee, why don't every one of you just walk through that door? I just feel even in doing it, God's going to do something in you. So I just want to encourage you to do that. And let's just make sure people over here get ministered to. People who have given their, all those who came forward in the first block. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, touch that man, Lord. Touch him. Let's go and pray for people. And let's make sure the three people who came second get talked to as well. It's been a joy to be with you. I would say expect more from God. And dare to love people and tell them the truth. And do it with tears in your eyes. full, but with great expectancy in your heart. Amen.